Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park. We have Gov and Greg behind the glass today. We have Mike Tirico at 7.02. Lions on Sunday Night Football. Always good to check in with Tirico. We've got the two Grand Slam at 7.25, a chance to win $2,000 this morning. Dear John, I'm just going to put it out there this week. Might be our best yet. There's a visual aid accompanying one of the questions.
That goes well with radio.
But you need to see it to understand it.
All right.
I'm curious. Later today. Thursday touchdown in about a half hour. But, John, you heard in the update, Pistons lose, Red Wings win. Spotlight's on us. Caught me up.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, wake up.
Good morning.
Tom hit the switch.
Yeah, now he turns it off.
Good morning.
There are cameras here, so I guess that's why the lights are there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to see you guys. And it's great to have a Thursday where we do have a Red Wings win and a Pistons team that should have won. They were one box out away from sealing the deal and getting three in a row, something they haven't done since, what was it? I didn't see the graphic as I was watching the end of the game.
It made it more painful because they, in the right corner, bottom right corner, would be their first three-game win streak since 2022.
Oh! I forgot to ask Doug. Did he put the nickel down on them to have a three-game win streak? We'll have to ask him when he comes back. He was a little bit late to the show yesterday. I heard he got, the eye thing.
What happened? Well, I asked about it, but what eye thing? What, he got the eye thing? What's that mean?
Yeah, HIPAA laws prevent me from saying. I don't know.
Did he come in with an eye patch like Stoney?
I think he had the Stoney eye patch.
Oh, he did.
Oh, he had the goggles?
But he had the sunglasses on too, yeah.
Oh, like he had his eyes dilated?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he had something done with his eye. And so he texted me last night and he was like, yeah, I had the eye thing and I know it was a little bit late, but I still came in. And I said, well, yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, well, your eye is not connected to your mouth, so... Yeah, I would expect you to come in. Like, I mean, it's not.
Was he wanted credit for like toughing it out?
Maybe he couldn't drive. Yeah. Was that it? Like, I couldn't make it in because I couldn't see. Like,
I couldn't. Still has a good eye.
I know, but have you ever?
I've never tried to drive with one eye. If Stoney can do it,
dangerous. I don't know how Stoney ever did. I hope he wasn't driving with an eye patch on. It's hard.
I don't know. I mean, maybe his EV can do it for him.
Oh, that's true.
That's right.
Put on autopilot.
There you go.
Get here.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on Doug.
Three straight wins for the Pistons.
Yeah,
three straight.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now I'm back on track. They were that close, and it's disappointing, but at least it was a competitive game, I guess. If we're talking about trying to get to 30 wins, they obviously didn't get closer yesterday, but I don't know if Charlotte is a great measuring stick.
It's not. It was a winnable game. I think the Pistons on the road were favored in that game, and it was back and forth in the fourth, and there seemed to be a moment where they're down one, and they got a key defensive stop, and it's Ron Holland.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going, hey.
And it takes it coast to coast.
How about situational awareness? This is a rookie. The light bulb's going on. He made a couple threes in the game, and you're going, this is going to be a good gutty road win, only to have three different Pistons fail to box out in the final possession of the game, and they lose. And then you're forced to look a little deeper, and while Cade Cunningham had a triple-double and only a couple turnovers, it's a good game, you realize the difference in that was LaMelo Ball's 15 fourth-quarter points. Cade had 0 fourth-quarter points. He's growing. He's getting better. This is not a referendum on him, but that was the difference in that game yesterday.
Yeah, LaMelo came up money for him.
He's making step-back threes. Yeah, I mean, he was deep threes. And that's, is that not the gap?
Well, Holland,
that Cade has to get to at least LaMelo's.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the gap. It's I mean, so how many times have we said this so far this year? It's they play three quarters. All of a sudden you think, hey, they're going to get another win. And then the fourth quarter, there's just, you don't have it from the guys you need to have it from. Getting it from Holland at that time is a bonus.
Yeah.
But you get a steal, and then he goes down and takes it to the hole, hits, and that's the go-ahead bucket. And you're thinking, all right, they're getting the contributions. But you have to have it from Cunningham and Ivy in those moments.
It's the two of them. And I think they combined to have 6 fourth quarter points. For the game, both stat lines look good. You know what I mean? Like both took turns early in the game. Cade was going right at the hoop. Ivy, you know, is very aggressive getting to the basket. They took advantage of Charlotte's lack of size. But late in the game, you need one of your lead guards. Like, fine, if it's not going to be Cade on every single night, it's got to be Ivy. And they were outscored 15-6 by LaMelo Ball, who was a closeout player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough because you're learning to win. This is certainly a better performance than they had last year, but it's such a low bar.
It is. It is a very low bar. But we did have a win in town.
Yeah?
Not in town, but...
Yeah, for one of our teams.
Yeah.
Out in Chicago. Jared Goff chance reigning in the building. And the Red Wings pick up a win in Chicago against the Blackhawks.
a Jared Goff chance and what? Fire Eberflus?
I was caught off guard. Wait, this isn't at Little Caesars?
Right.
Hey, Lions fans are
Lions
everywhere.
Lions fans
baby.
Are everywhere.
Everywhere. They're good Red Wing fans.
Coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah. Listen, it's good to see Larkin in that offense, that first line get going a little bit. DeBrinket scores, Larkin scores, and they held a lead, killed off some penalties in the game. Like, yeah, it's what you needed to see from this hockey team.
Mm-hmm. When are you going next?
Their next loss.
Right, that's why I want to know what it is.
November 21st. Mark
oh, so they can rack up some wins
between
now and then.
Yeah, there's a chance for them to build a little bit of a win streak here.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they got a West Coast trip coming between now and then, too.
Sure, sure. And they happen to be in the wild card.
Are you checking the standings right now?
I check the standings all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do it for... I mean, obviously, we're doing it for football because we're in contention for the one seed. Yeah. We're not in contention. We're in the driver's seat for the one seed. So every time I look at it, I always click on, you know, you got your standings.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, they're fourth in the Eastern Conference. What does it look like for the wild card? I think a lot of people do that. Even though it's too early to start talking about the cut line and all those things, yeah. They have to remain in striking distance.
Yeah, you don't want to see them fall apart early
in
the season.
And so obviously, they're tied with Boston right now.
We play Boston later this month.
Yeah, they got the tiebreaker. So anyway.
Talbot, I thought, played well in that. I mean, there's little things. Like, listen, we hit them hard when they were struggling. I mean, I've gone to ugly hockey games, plural, this season. That was not an ugly hockey game yesterday. That was one. They were more competitive in the shots on goal, mm-hmm. chances on net, and they buried some chances. I thought the first one from DeBrinket was a big momentum goal, right? I mean, it's a rebound chance. It's end of a period. It's a little jolt early in a game on the road. It's something you can build on. And then maybe the play of the game was Dylan Larkin. I thought it was vintage Larkin, who is a fast skater, who gets the edge, goes to the net, and buries his chance. And they were playing from an advantage position most of the night. I feel like I've watched too many hockey games from them this season where they are, whether it's a tie game or they're trailing, they are fighting uphill. This was a game where they could at least go downhill and take advantage of the style of play.
Sure. And it was a game where it kept you interested because it was three periods.
Yeah.
Right. They how many times have I sat here and talked about the Pistons, right? Learning to win. And to learn to win, you've got to play at least a majority of all four quarters. And for the Red Wings, you would think with the veteran leadership that they have, saying that you got to learn to play all three quarters, or I mean, sorry, three periods, it wouldn't be a thing, but through 12 games, how many times have we said, I mean, at least, what, 8 of them have we said?
The majority.
Boy, the first one was bleh. Second, they showed up, and then third, bleh.
Yeah, that's been the script.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Just quick on the Pistons and the Red Wings to start the show. If you got thoughts, we could read some ticket texts, take some phone calls. Thursday touchdown coming up at 6:35. We'll hit on a little Michigan State, college football playoff, CJ Stroud, the Lions, NFL coaches who could be fired. Some good storylines for the Thursday touchdown. Pit stop on the Tigers coming up next.
Oh, we're going to hit all four sports? All four?
We are in that time of year. For the Tigers, I want to make sure that this doesn't get misconstrued. I do not want to fight with anybody.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I don't want to fight with anybody.
Okay, here's a tip. If you don't want to fight, use less smarm.
I will dial it back a couple notches.
See, pinky, you can't do it.
Pinky promise. We'll get to that. Scott Harris spoke. It's a question about free agency, and I promise I don't want to fight. It's 97-1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. And you have to place any $5 bet, and that means you get a chance to watch Wemby's second season because he's out of market. Ja Morant, he's back to flying around. Whatever you want to watch in the NBA out of market, you could do it with NBA League Pass. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will automatically be charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Empty netter late made it 4-1. Wings get a win on the road in Chicago. Pistons lose at the buzzer on a putback.
I'm a late tune into Twitch. Greg, great job. You've been on the money getting us on early. But in regards to when you can actually start looking at the standings.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously listening to us. Red Wing 2244 says, Thanksgiving is 3 weeks from today, so better get those turkeys ordered. Historically speaking, you have a pretty good idea of the NHL playoff picture by looking at the standings Thanksgiving Day. So I guess I will postpone my next wild card playoff update until Thanksgiving. There's still a lot of hockey left.
I think I'll be at two games between now and Thanksgiving.
Oh, so we can mark down two more losses
and then hopefully we'll see what that means for points.
Maybe there'll be overtime losses and we can still
pick up a point along the way. Although my games are 3-4 goal losses.
Yeah, that would be too exciting for you.
John, Scott Harris spoke. And he's not going to give away their offseason game plan. But people want to hear from him and they want to gauge what the Tigers will do after making the playoffs, after winning a wild card round, after coming within a game of the ALCS, what's next? Scott Harris talked about adding players, saying we need to do both internal and external additions. We need to add externally, but we need to acknowledge the fact that external gains can't compare with the scale of the gains internally. We have the youngest team in baseball. We just made the playoffs, won a playoff series. Each one of these guys gets a little better. We're going to be just fine in the future. We do have to do both, and we're actively doing both. This isn't a moment in time where we just focus on external additions and forget about development. It means we have a lot on our plate, but that's what it should be. He didn't say they're not going to add externally, but he is prioritizing the young players' development first.
Well, I like the shift in... Last year, it was just, we don't want to block bats. Okay, I'm glad that he didn't use any of that terminology. That would have sent me through the roof. I'm curious as to what this means.
So I looked at 13 players who received a qualifying offer. Those, to me, are the big free agent names. 7 of them are bats. That was the issue for the Tigers in games 4 and game 5 against Cleveland. They couldn't get the clutch knock with runners in scoring position. They didn't hit well enough really for the majority of the season. So there are 7 what I would say top targets. I do not want to fight with people about this. I'm not going to make this about you got to go get my guy. Just get a guy. The 7 names, and I'll run through them, John. Take your pick. If you think one guy's no good, this guy's too old, this guy wants too much term, you don't like the smile of this, I don't care. Pick one of the 7 guys. Willy Adames, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Oscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Juan Soto, and Christian Walker.
I think everybody's pick is Juan Soto. But we all understand, when you get into a bidding war with the Yankees, Mets, the Dodgers, the Mets, that might not, even though the money is there, might not be realistic.
Okay. I'd make the case that
I'll take Pete Alonso.
Okay.
That's the one that I would pick out of that list.
Okay. And Pete Alonso, The Athletic has breakdowns. A 5-year, 140 deal is kind of the expectation. We'll see how it plays out, but that's $28 million a year on a 5-year deal for a guy who's, what, 29, 30 years old?
Yeah.
Feels kind of market rate.
Get it done.
Tigers sign him. Their payroll would still be below average, but they'd have a bopper at first base who can hit for some power, and he had some postseason success for the Mets.
Answers that question. And also, I think it answers two questions at once. What are you going to do with a bat at first base?
And what about Torque?
What are you going to do with Torque?
And again, there's flexibility here. If they go, no, we believe in Torque, and it's Chase Young who's not going to be a long-term third baseman. Alex Bregman, familiarity with A.J. Hinch. Oh, but he wants a 7-year deal. Okay, Willy Adames. Oh, but he wants a 6-year deal. I just don't want excuses. There's 7 right. names, maybe 6 if you throw out Juan Soto. John, am I wrong to say they got to add one of these guys?
No, you're not wrong. I would love to add one of these guys because it feels like everybody else is just going to be a complimentary piece. And not that you're going to go out and get a showpiece like a Juan Soto, but you need someone that's going to be that bat that is feared in the lineup. And because it will make all those other bats that you are hoping get just a little bit better. A little bit better in the field, a little bit better at the plate, a little bit better as baseball players. And I understand that. I agree with that. You've got to build from within. It makes them better because you have somebody that is feared, and maybe they pitch to Riley Green a little bit more because they don't want to pitch to Pete Alonso. Or, I mean, that's up to A.J. Hinch as to how he, you know, constructs the order.
I promise no fighting. I promise no smarm. I understand what Scott Harris is saying about if 4 or 5 young players take the step forward, that can be more impactful than any one bat. I would totally agree with Scott Harris on that statement. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But make sure you still add that one bat. Make sure you still do something about your young baseball team. Because while they're all cheap, while your payroll is on the cheap end, you can take a swing on a bat to help those guys out, and you'll still have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball, but you would be making an attempt to, quote, go for it. And I don't know why you'd be waiting. You were just a win away from the ALCS.
Right.
The idea here is
so close.
The money is there. You've told us the money's there. The players, I just gave you a list of 7 names. Take your pick. Use your analytics. Rule out a guy or two. Negotiate really hard and maybe not get one of the other ones, but make a play on one of the, or how about this, a trade. I'm not even going to box them into these 7 names. If you can go get a player of their caliber via trade, something they also talked about, great. I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to be demanding and you have to do it my way. I'm not the GM. I'm not the president of baseball ops. I'm just a fan. I just want to see this team be better. And I don't want to fight people this offseason. I know we did it last year with Chapman. I really just want to be reasonable. And I hope this is a reasonable thing to ask for one of the higher level bats.
The last thing I'll say about either Alonso or Christian Walker, both of them would play first base.
Yes.
Christian Walker, probably in terms of time, less of a commitment than Alonso.
Projected 2-year deal on the Athletic.
And so I get that. And again, either one. But it also, it doesn't mean that you have to give up on Torque. It doesn't mean that he could still be a part of the organization. You could have him in Toledo for a while and just take a little pressure off. I don't know if there's ever going to be pressure taken off because he was 1-1. The expectations were so high. He could still be a part, but don't rely on him.
I think Christian Walker makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's a guy that's won 3 straight gold gloves, right?
Yeah.
He had MVP votes a couple years ago. He's hit north of 30 home runs. There's power in that bat. I know he's getting a little older, but on a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
And this is 2 years, $44 million.
I mean, that seems like the safer.
Sure.
move while you're trying to do what you do. And I wouldn't have a problem with that, at least that minimum. But to me, the answer is Alonso.
Yeah.
It's time to make a decision that Spencer Torkelson is not going to turn this around. He's a, you plug him right in and you move on from Torque. And then for me, if you add a pitcher, I'd be cool with that. I really would. Because I think what was missing last year was a home run hitter. They need a traditional power home run hitter, left hand. And I mean, it's just, it's textbook right there.
Can you imagine the
I mean,
one?
The only thing is they need right-handed bats and, you know, he's a lefty, but so be it.
I think every name I mentioned is a righty with the exception of Juan Soto, and he is the exception.
Right.
So, I mean, there are moves to be made. This is the start of hot stove season. The winter meetings have not happened, but your GM is talking and qualifying offers have been made.
I just want to give you something to ruminate on.
Yeah.
That this is, I don't believe this will happen, but can you imagine with Skubal as your one, as a lefty, Corbin Burnes as your 1B?
As a righty.
As a righty?
Yeah.
I mean, he's available. I mean, we're talking money now, and I don't know that that's realistic, but it's okay to dream.
Yeah. We'll kick it around. It's the start of free agency in baseball. Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, Michigan voters made history this year. A record 5.6 million people voted in Michigan's presidential election, bringing the turnout tally more than 100,000 votes ahead of the turnout during the 2020 presidential election.
Awesome.
Which is great. So Secretary of State Joslyn Benson mentioned on Wednesday that this is our third straight election cycle where voters turned out in record numbers. And she did note that the early voting process has undoubtedly made voting more convenient. We all know. Sure. I mean, we all voted in the early in-person voting. And she said that that could be why we saw a lot of new voters show up this year. So according to state officials, 2.2 million absentee ballots were cast. 1.2 million voted in that early in person voting process, and also 16,573 people registered to vote on election day. It's down a little bit from 2020, but still.
But the turnout is what is so impressive.
That's what's important.
It's pretty incredible.
Well, that's the deal here. We want people to voice what they want from the government. We want the leaders to be of the people, and the people spoke, and that's what we want. So I love seeing the people are out voting.
Me too, and I honestly, I love the early in-person voting process. It just made it, I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, what, I've got to make sure I get there on this day. It kind of was like, okay, I'm going to try for this day. Oh, I didn't make it on this day. I'll go tomorrow.
Yep.
And we went as a family. It was very nice, yes. So Donald Trump did win Michigan on Wednesday, reclaiming the state after Biden flipped it in 2020. Trump won Michigan in 2016 by just over 10,000 votes, marking the first time a Republican presidential candidate had secured the state in nearly three decades. We were also watching the race between Alyssa Slotkin, excuse me, and Mike Rogers. Alyssa Slotkin, blah, 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 did win the Michigan Senate seat.
Really close race.
Very close race.
Did you see, because everybody's seen a lot of the data post-election, the maps that show how many counties moved more Republican versus moved more, like red arrows going to the right. It was a statement when you really break it down on a county-by-county level.
Police in Ann Arbor are searching for a driver who assaulted another driver during a road rage incident. This happened early Wednesday. So listen to what happened. The victim told police that they were stopped behind a vehicle at a blinking yellow light. This was at an intersection early in the morning, 1 a.m. Now, the stopped car was not moving. So the guy behind him, the victim, was kind of like giving him some offensive hand drivers or hand gestures.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly which one, but
I can imagine
something.
Maybe a Brian Branch or two.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So the driver got out of his car, the one that was stopped at the yellow light. I don't know how this happened, but pulled the victim from their vehicle and punched him in the face. And apparently the victim also says that the suspect had a handgun. I don't know if that's true or not, but the suspect then got back in their car and fled the scene. Huh. But how do you just pull somebody out of their vehicle?
Well, they obviously had their window down.
Had to have,
and
right?
Were
door unlocked.
Using those, But
normally the door, if
your
you're
door
in drive,
automatically locked.
It's locked. So the window had to have been down.
Yeah, he's probably shouting out the window, in case you can't see me, maybe you can hear
move.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get it. Move. Or just go around him. The guy could have just went around him. Either way, a group of masked men approached a woman and tried to rob her on Wednesday morning inside a dorm building on the campus of Oakland University. Pretty scary. According to school police, the victim was on the second floor of Oakview Hall. This is right around 12:30 a.m. when five men in ski masks walked up to her and they asked her if she wanted company or if she wanted to like go on a car ride or if her roommate was home, which is creepy. Altogether very creepy. Police said there was then some sort of a struggle as these guys tried to steal her keys. The victim screamed for help. Her roommate heard, opened the door, and the suspects fled the scene. So nobody was injured. Nothing was stolen. But now police are searching for these men. There's really not a lot of information. They were all wearing dark colored jackets. They were about 5'11 to 6 feet tall. But police did kind of give some safety tips if you're ever in a situation like this or just walking alone, which you should never do, they say. But you want to trust your instincts. You want to be observant of your surroundings. Stick to well-lighted streets. Never reveal large amounts of money or wear like really, really valuable things. I mean, meh. And don't use ATM machines at night. And if you are confronted by a robber, stay calm and do as instructed. Get a good look at the robber. Don't try to like stare at them, but be able to identify them.
Maybe ask them their name.
And then don't chase
photo
or follow
ID
them.
If possible.
So,
good advice. It's yes. Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Lions fans, toast to the Kings of the North with 1800 Tequila, the best taste in tequila and a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you grab the limited edition Motor City Jersey bottle. It's on shelves now, made for the Lions season. The bottle's design looks just like the Motor City alternate jerseys they wore in week 4. They're going to be gone soon, so go out and get yours wherever you normally buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila and the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly. Thursday rolls around. We've got football questions. We call it the Thursday Touchdown.
All right, guys, I'm going to give credit where credit is due, and I hope they're listening or they hear this later. David Hall's 6-6 Michigan prediction looks spot on. What has been the most disappointing thing about Michigan football this season?
It's really hard to pick. I think I talked about this when we were discussing this segment. It's really hard to pick, but I think for me it is the high level of talent, individual talent that they have on defense from Will Johnson, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Derek Moore, Josiah Stewart, Jayshon Barham. Like, you go down the list of players, Makari Page. Like, they've got some studs on defense. And I know that the offense has put them in bad spots from time to time. They've left them on the field way too long. But I expected so much more out of the defense, whether it was turnovers and not even just getting to the quarterback, because they played a lot of offenses where ball is out of the hand quickly. I've been underwhelmed because of the level of talent on defense.
The most disappointing thing is that David Hall is right, that they're going to be 6-6. John, you're right. There's too much talent on defense for them to be a 6-6 football team.
He's not right yet.
But let's not let the offense off the hook either.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said it's hard to pick.
I know. And I said I'll go in another direction no matter what you say, because there's plenty of options to pick. Sure. And I think it's the fact that they have had three different quarterbacks and not consistent enough play from the position or the offense.
Well, they go 7-5 at least if the defense is a little bit better. The defense was supposed to hold its own to a degree.
Until the offense got going.
I mean, I thought they'd be one of the best in the country, and clearly they're not. They're playing like a bunch of individuals, and I put that on Wink Martindale. There's no way the defense, I know they had some attrition last year, but to look this way with the amount of NFL talent there is a joke. Wink Martindale seems like such a just bad fit. It just doesn't seem right.
Well, if we're talking about both coordinators being a disappointment, isn't that on Sharon for not hiring the right staff?
Yeah, and then it's just the whole thing collectively is nonsense this year. All right, Michigan State is off this week, then closes at Illinois, and then they follow that up with two home games against Purdue and Rutgers. Very winnable games. If the Spartans finish 6-6 and make a bowl game, did they overachieve?
I would say they met expectations. We talked about it preseason. Get to a bowl game was a fair bar for Jonathan Smith in year one. I think they'll do it. I think they'll meet expectations.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a game better. Maybe being in a bowl game and being 6-6 versus 5-7. I mean, we looked at their schedule and didn't necessarily play out the way we thought it would play out. I didn't see the Iowa win, but I also didn't see a Boston College loss. And so I think 6-6 is right where we kind of anticipated they would be. And again, it's really kind of hard to figure out this team, because I thought Aiden Childs would be better, more of a threat than he has been. And again, the conversation we had yesterday, I'm not giving up on him. I just think I expected more from him.
The preseason win total, they overachieved.
Yeah, it's like 4.5, right?
They went over.
Yeah.
All right, the first round games in the first college football playoff bracket would be Boise State at Ohio State, Alabama at Texas, Notre Dame at Penn State, and Indiana at Tennessee. Which road team would most likely win?
I got to go with Notre Dame. And I think, I mean, the loss to Northern Illinois, I think, woke them up. It was that, and it happened early enough to where they could recover from it. Now, it's taken some time, and I don't think they're ever fully going to recover from it this year, but some lessons learned. And I just don't trust Penn State and James Franklin in any situation where it matters to be able to win a game like that.
It's the right answer. It's James Franklin, who's 3-18 against top 10 opponents. Their receivers can't separate as is, and Notre Dame's got some good corners. Yeah, I think Notre Dame pulls off that upset.
No Indiana love?
Well, that's my second one, and I think that game would be interesting because that game could be the ultimate shootout.
Little note here. Who would have thought that the state of Indiana would be the first state to produce two college football playoff teams? That very well might happen.
Yeah.
That's insane. And it's not Doug's Purdue. Several college football programs have significantly underachieved this season. Many big-name coaches are on the hot seat. Who do you think will be the biggest name to get fired this offseason?
So the one people have been fixating on is Billy Napier. They're 4-4. They got a rough schedule to end the year, but he may have done enough to save that job.
I think he's outkicked his coverage. I think he did.
So then I got to work a little harder here.
Yes, that's a lazy answer.
No, that's because, Tom, I have my answer.
He hasn't given his answer yet. Wow. Attack.
Brent Venables.
I didn't mean it in an attacking way.
Brent Venables. It's year three. Year three, you're trending for another losing record. In today's college football, you got to get it done in less than 3 years.
Yeah. So you mentioned 3 years. The guy that left and gave, the opportunity to Brent Venables, Lincoln Riley at USC. 4-5 right now. 15th in the Big Ten, for the resources that they have and the fact that they had a Heisman Trophy winner, a number one overall pick. I know he's not there this year, but that they didn't do more when he was there and there's nothing else going on. Lincoln Riley's supposed to be this offensive genius. Where is it now?
Okay, my only thing with him is on a technicality here. I don't know if he'll be fired because I think he'll run to the NFL before he gets fired.
Oh, Sure, just out of college football.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the Lions face C.J. Stroud and the Texans on Sunday night. Stroud has been a phenomenal in his rookie season, but he's really suffered a little bit, kind of having, quote, a sophomore slump. Where would you rank Stroud right now among NFL QBs?
This is a tough one because I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I would give him the 9-10 range, and the quarterbacks that I would have in front of him are obviously Goff, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels. And then I'd put him right in the same category as Brock Purdy.
So I had about the same answer. And I listed everybody you just listed. I think I'd throw Stafford ahead of him right now, too. But then we're getting into the same tier.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think he's end of the top 10.
Right. So if you were going tiers, would that be tier three?
Probably.
Because I think there's a clear tier one, and then there's a bunch of guys that are just below that.
Yes.
And then Stafford, Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
All right, the Lions are the number one seed in the NFC right now. Who are the top three NFC threats in order that could ruin the Lions' Super Bowl aspirations?
Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles. A world where you got to go to Philadelphia in the playoffs, not ideal. Philadelphia has went healthy. An offensive line that's comparable to Detroit. And Philadelphia has a roster that was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They're the number one threat to me. Number two, mobile quarterback, the Commanders. And number three is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
I miss somebody?
Yeah. I don't have the Packers in mind because of the inconsistent play of Jordan Love. I don't trust him, especially after that. I mean, that was an awful interception that he threw to Kirby Joseph. It was terrible. My number one, same as yours, Eagles. And they have remnants of the Super Bowl roster, and namely the offensive line, an aging defensive line. Defense is playing better, much better than it did last year. The number one add that makes them so much different and so much better, it unlocks Jalen Hurts a little bit more, at least makes it easier for him, is Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
And I think they're the number one threat. Number two for me is the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm.
I think with O'Connell, and now, trust me, Sam Darnold does not strike fear into anyone, but it's more Kevin O'Connell as a coach, the what he can do, Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator. I don't think that they necessarily threaten in the division, which means that they don't necessarily threaten, but I do think in the NFC there are the second biggest threat to the Lions. And number three for me is the Commanders. I think the Commanders are a team in a weak division. They can rack up a lot of wins. That'll be interesting to see when they play the Eagles, which is coming up soon.
I would go Eagles, Niners, Vikings. And the reason I would say the Vikings in there is because I do think playing them a third time, and I respect Brian Flores, that he could game plan against our offense. And
so quick on that one, I would say I don't think that the Niners run the table. So I don't think they could be a threat for the number one. Maybe just that single game that the Lions play them.
Okay. Finally, Robert Saleh and Dennis Allen have already been fired this season. That's pretty amazing. We've already had two firings this early. Who will be the next coach fired in season?
There's plenty of options, but I got to go with Brian Daboll out of New York. I think that just their inept offense, and you could say Daniel Jones, you could say a lot of different things, but I think it's Brian Daboll.
Team that's lost five in a row, I think it's Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that seems like just a hot mess out there. Now, can I just say something here in terms of Daniel Jones? I want to do this topic like when we need something in the middle of July next year. Guys that they have to have pictures on the owner. I don't know how Daniel Jones has gotten this many lives. How? How did he get that contract?
Because it was a fool's gold playoff win against a fraudulent Vikings team. That's what it was. And that is the Thursday touchdown. It's 97.1.
Hey, fall into family fun this season with the YMCA of Metro Detroit. From youth basketball to gymnastics and swimming, the Y's fall programs are perfect for keeping kids active, building skills, and making friends. And for the adults, there's group exercise classes, Les Mills, and free child watch while you work out, all for a membership of less than $3 a day. Don't miss out. Visit ymcadetroit.org or your nearest YMCA to learn more and try the Y for free. Fall into family fun today at the Y.
We got Mike Tirico coming up at 7:02 this morning. Voice of Sunday Night Football. Lions playing the Texans. Good check-in coming up in about 10 minutes. We just had the Thursday touchdown, and there was a question about the Lions and their threats in the NFC. Just pulled up the betting market just to get maybe a different opinion on it, John.
Yeah.
The Lions, of course, are the favorite to win the NFC one seed and to win the conference. To get the one seed, the second highest odds are the Eagles, followed by the Commanders, and then the Falcons, who you disrespected and didn't even have in the power surge the other day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. The odds to win the NFC, not just get the one seed, Lions 1, Niners 2. To Tom's point about don't bury them, the book is saying if it's not the Lions who win the NFC, the representative in the Super Bowl would be San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by it. I think the case can be made right now with C-Mac potentially returning this week and that they can take one more kick at it, that they can go on a run. To me, the timing of their bye was great for them. Kind of calm it down and, okay, let's make our run. Let's go on it. They've done it in a previous season recently, and I just think the window is there. My belief is that they will get that going, but it's going to peter out. I think Ayuk long-term is really going to hurt them.
Sure. I mean, it's their vertical threat. We talked a lot about it in the offseason when he was holding out and wanting to get extended and that whole deal.
It's like kind of, all right, we got the bye. Let's get the band together and let's go.
So it's now or never for San Francisco.
And I just think because of the wear and tear on them over previous seasons, extra games, playoff games and stuff like that, and no Ayuk, it'll peter out. But I would love to have them in Ford Field for the NFC Championship game.
It doesn't matter who it is.
There's
bring
no
them on.
Question. Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. Flip the script.
A little vengeance.
Would Rico be allowed in the building?
Sure, but he'd have to wear his Niners gear, which I imagine he would.
Yeah, well, he's right? A Niners fan. Yeah.
The cost of that ticket, because the Niners fans will try to come. They travel.
Sure.
Sure. And, just like Detroit did at Levi Stadium last year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Tirico 702, two grand slam at 725, a chance to win $2,000 if you can get 10 questions right. John, you also had this note about, and we had Michigan football on the Thursday touchdown, Wink Martindale taking some shots at his former employer.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, you can be careful, you know, throwing stones in a glass house, because he was asked, he was yesterday or the day before about, you know, does he like the college game? He's been in the NFL for so long, and how does he want to stay in the college game? I think he's got a three-year deal at Michigan, and his response was, among other things, well, it's better than being with some 2-7 teams. And obviously his former team, the Giants, are 2-7. Is it that much different being or right at about 500 or staring 500 in the face if you lose to Indiana at Michigan versus a 2-7 record with the Giants, where there wasn't a lot of expectations? Now, the expectation wasn't necessarily national championship this year for Michigan, but the expectation is always going to be playoffs. So if you're staring at 5-5, currently 5-4, and at the end, most people believe they're at best going to be 6-6.
Yeah, if you throw the COVID year out, this is the worst season of Michigan football in a decade. So I don't know that I'd be walking around taking pot shots at other
anybody else. I understand there's a personal maybe vendetta versus, you know, against Daboll, who, for the backstory, Daboll fired two of the defense's assistant coaches last year, and I don't think Wink took kindly to that. He resigned versus being fired at the end of the year last year. And so it was obviously some animosity between him and the head coach. I still don't know that I would be taking shots from where you are right now.
Wink's gotten a little testy at times this season, right? Early in the year, people were making the Don Brown comparisons, and he took an opportunity to try to fight back against that criticism. I think the other day he talked about, we're not a poor tackling team, because there was this narrative coming out that Michigan's not tackling well enough. And then, some of this is, I think, who he is, right? I mean, he can be a little surly.
Sure.
And he can be a little feisty.
He's an old-school football coach.
Old-school football coach. Yeah. But again,
looks like an old-school football coach.
He does look like an old-school football coach. But the emphasis on old-school, he also talked about, you know, his future, and he said it's just worrying about tomorrow at 61 years old. So in terms of how long he's going to be in that college game, I don't know. I think it was unnecessary shot to take. Because to your point, a 2-7 NFL team is not that different than a 6-6 big power brand. In the college game.
Coming off of a national championship. And here's where I mentioned it in the Thursday touchdown. When you have the front seven that they have, where it's Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Derek Moore, Josiah Stewart, like that should be a dominant front four. Jay Sean Barham coming over from Maryland. He's a stud. Ernest Hausman. Is a really good player. I think he is maybe the unsung player on this Michigan defense that just makes plays. And then Will Johnson's been in and out. Makari Page, and it took a shot with Rod Moore getting hurt. But you've got NFL talent. He is coaching guys that if he wasn't in the college game, would be coaching next year.
The Giants preseason win total was 6.5. They're kind of doing what everybody thought they were going to do. They're going to be one of the worst teams in their division, if not the worst team in their division. They're not a playoff team. Nobody expected them to be a playoff team. The Giants, and I'm not saying it's going to save Daboll's job, but the Giants are doing what everybody thought they were going to do. Yeah. Michigan, of the two teams, is the one underachieving between the two. You want to talk about situations that aren't going according to plan, Michigan's is a bigger issue than even the Giants are.
To me, it's more of a, you know, understand context, understand, read the room, where you're at. And instead of taking shots of where you were from or at anybody else, let's keep working on our house.
248-539-9797. This one says, who cares if he's taking a shot at the Giants? He says, the guy is pure garbage and so is that team. Another one says, he is throwing stones from a glass house.
Yeah. I mean, it's you're right now 5-4, just above 500, and you've not been the reason that they've won any games.
No. Honestly, to your point, the defense had the expectation. The defense hasn't been good enough. We've got a lot still to do today on the show. We got the two grand slam, mentioned that. We are going to get into a little bit of what Scott Harris had to say. He spoke, president of baseball operations, ahead of true free agency, the expectation that Tiger fans have. We'll get to that at 7:35. Mike Tirico joins us next. It's 97.1.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.